This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on the fan by Laurelhurst Market, more than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now, with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning to you all. I'm back. I've returned. Have I been replaced?
You know, it was close. I mean, Will and I took a vote. And you lost.
Fortunately, that doesn't constitute quorum, so it's inadmissible under the current House rules.
Well, because you are the House, or at least you clean the toilets. The
Ryan Buckley had a supermajority, and he voted you back in.
Who did?
Ryan Buckley, the guy you hosted the show with last week. His name you already forgot?
Because
he likes his Saturday mornings to himself, probably.
They come and go so quickly around here. I just can't keep track of them.
Anyway, yes, I'm back from Central Oregon. Went to visit my son, make sure he was okay, getting going at another school year out there.
Did you do his laundry for him?
I did not do his laundry. I went there to make sure he's eating well.
Yeah.
Teach, you know, they say if you give them a fish, they eat for a day. You teach them how to fish, they'll eat for a lifetime. That's what we're trying to do.
That is amazing. So I don't fish. So
yeah, it's an old.
Is that why I'm short?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's when you started drinking coffee when you were five.
Smoking at three, coffee at five. Yeah. It's all led to this.
That's right, stunted your growth.
Perfect specimen before you. I'm about to.
Yeah, you're going to live till you're 130. Though.
I'm celebrating a birthday on the 29th of this month.
Well, there
I'll finally hit even par.
Ah.
Yep, 36 years old.
There you go.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, anyway, we're down to our last 2 weeks, so we're going to be with you this Saturday and next Saturday. And then we'll start to transition with the Pac-12 football season getting ready to go. Ducks coming back. We'll start to transition into college football Saturdays here on The Fan. We might be back, depending on kick times, Masters weekend. There's been a special request from management for us to do the show Masters weekend, depending on the kick time of the Ducks game.
Well, it all depends. See, this morning I really didn't want to come in here because I woke up in the dark. Yeah.
First, I don't even know if they're taking tee times right. Maybe this might be the first tee time at golf courses right now at 8 a.m.
It might be, and it's pretty dark this morning. But now the Masters is in November, right?
Yeah, it's the second week in November.
And then they
We fall back.
Okay.
So we're off daylight savings, so there'll be a little bit more daylight earlier.
Well, so I'll put that on my calendar
exactly.
As a maybe.
I might be in here by myself. Who knows? But we'll see.
You can carry the show by yourself.
Well, Masters Week.
Matter of fact, I'll be back in an hour.
Well, fortunately, we've got a lot of help today. PGA Tour's been in Las Vegas last week and this week. Greg Robertson covers golf for the Las Vegas Journal Review, former editor, golf editor for ESPN.com. So we're going to chat with him, what he saw last week, what he's seen this week, not only from the players, but also a lot of people's first look, we've heard about Shadow Creek down there, this ultra-exclusive, quote, public course that's owned by MGM Resorts down there, but you have to know somebody and have a giant wallet to get on there.
Only $750 per round.
Oh, I saw $600. Maybe times are tough and they've lowered it to $600. But, yeah, you gotta know somebody.
It's a COVID discount.
Pretty much. Yeah. So we'll chat with Greg at 8:15, kind of what he's been seeing down there. How this first few tournaments and the new wraparound season are going as we get ready for the Masters coming up in a couple of weeks. Then at 8:45 in the Business of Golf, Steve Turcotte, who is the editor of Inside Golf newspaper here dedicated to golf in the Pacific Northwest. It's been around for a long, long time, but I don't think a lot of golfers, recreational golfers, maybe understand it. It's definitely something you want to check out, and we'll talk about fall golf. The weather's supposed to be pretty dry. We're seeing the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration put out its winter weather kind of forecasting. It's supposed to be a little bit milder, maybe a little wetter here in the Oregon area. So you might be able to play a bit more winter golf than normal.
You actually subscribe to that? I think the Farmer's Almanac is much more accurate.
Yeah, you're more suck your finger and stick it in the wind and see what's going.
Yeah, exactly. And they said that in...
Look, I was raised by a science teacher, so the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration was introduced at an early age.
Okay, well, we're not sure how I was reared.
I think with a swift boot.
Yeah, I don't have enough Neanderthal in me to have been reared in a, or maybe I have enough that I'm not into the science part of it.
So there might be more opportunity than normal. They're not expecting mega cold like we've had.
Fall golf is great.
Fall golf is great.
Yeah.
It's
going to be different this year than past years because so many people discovered golf this year.
So we'll discuss that with Steve and maybe some opportunities as the rates come down out of peak season. Maybe there's some courses that normally in the summer you're like, do I want to spend $150 or $200 or whatever the case, but they might be a little bit more affordable where to get the most bang for your buck. You played a farewell event to Broadmoor Golf Club, golf course, and unfortunately, that public course, which was one of the more beloved courses in Portland for decades.
89 years.
Is ceasing operations.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. When I first moved to Portland, Vancouver area, it was 1980, and didn't live too far from, you know, where the Jug is on Sandy Boulevard and 75th?
I grew up in like Oswego. I don't consort on the east side.
You're so entitled. Anyway, for those of us who are inner city people, the Jug was a major landmark. But I would play Broadmoor and Rose City quite often. And Broadmoor has always had a special place in my heart. It's a great golf course, fun golf course. I worked there for a short period of time in that little teeny pro shop, which I loved. It was like working out of a closet, but it was really very, it had a lot of charm about it. And the golf course yesterday was in fantastic shape. I give Scott Krieger and his crew huge thumbs up and kudos for keeping the golf course in pristine condition a week before it's going to close. That just demonstrates how much pride they have in the facility, and it's going to be unfortunate to see it plowed under to some of it to industrial. And then if you're familiar with the golf course, on the other side of the slough is going to go back to green space. So let's hope that
it stays that way.
Yeah, is a pristine green space.
We'll discuss a little bit more of that in our tip segment, as well as for people that aren't going to get out as much at this point. Obviously, not as much daylight. Fair weather golfers, how to keep maybe things in shape, whether you're working inside or just getting to the driving range. So we'll discuss that as well. But as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
Three tours in action this week. They're still in Scotland over in the European Tour. It is the Scottish Championship presented by AXA. They're playing in St. Andrews, but it's Fairmont St. Andrews, so not the old course. Garrick Porteous, Matt Wallace, a couple of Englishmen are in the lead, 15 under par as they are finishing up round three right now in the Golf Channels. The Spaniard Adrian Otegi at 14 under. American Sean Crocker in the mix at 13 under. Paddy Harrington playing there. He's at 10 under. The name you want to watch if you check out this morning or tomorrow morning, Aaron Rye is a young Englishman, but he has taken advantage of the European Tour and is a rising star and somebody that could be on some Ryder Cups here in the very near future. He is in a tie for sixth right now at 12 under.
Yeah, he won at the Scottish Open 2 weeks ago, and he made two eagles in his first six holes playing. He's playing fantastic golf, only a shot or so behind, two shots behind. I'd like to know what's going on the third hole. It's par five, and the top three players have all bogeyed it at least once in the first two rounds. Got to be a tough hole. The weather looks like it's just a bit windy, a little chilly. They've got stocking caps on, and now Terrell Hatton is over here now. He's not wearing a hoodie. Did you hear about all that?
That's maybe one of the dumbest things ever.
Oh, no, that's golf. You know, when you talk about dress codes around golf, it's at times it's absurd. And at other times it's I can understand it. We don't want, you know, fat old white guys out there with no shirts on. You know,
that I understand.
Yeah, that's a gagger. So, but you always have this problem with dress codes, and now they say we don't want you wearing a hoodie. And you know, put us all back in shirts and ties and knickers.
Good Lord, the hoodie probably costs more than, you know.
Oh, I don't think it's a cost.
Dry-tech material and so well-made and keeps them warm and thermal without bulking up because it's a little chilly out there.
Well, it's the look. And that's, I just, you know, they like a traditional look. And then, unfortunately, the traditional look doesn't always work for
no,
the majority of the golfers.
Not at all. So, Terrell Hatton winning last week in the PGA Championship out there at Wentworth, one of the biggest events on the European Tour. Champions are in action, although weather washed out most of the first round of the Dominion Energy Charity Classic at the Country Club of Virginia in Richmond. So they're playing the first round early this morning. You got a log jam at 300 par. Retief Goosen, Steve Pate, Mike Weir, Joey Sindelar, all there. Bernhard Langer is one under in a shock. He's on the front page of the leaderboard. But the big news last week, Ernie Els winning for the second time in his first 10 starts. He jumps to the top of the Charles Schwab Cup leaderboard at over $1.2 million so far in earnings, but two wins. And he's somebody, as well as Jim Furyk, who won his first two starts and nearly won his first three starts over there. The influx of guys turning 50. We know Phil now is 50. He won when he played. There's a couple other of bigger names that will be joining that tour. They could be getting a little bit of a revitalization.
Yeah, and they could use it because they've had some guys out there.
No discredit to Bernhard Langer, who is 63 or something like that, and continues.
He's 163.
He's amazing, but the fact that you're still relying on him and Freddie Couples to a certain extent to be the headliners on that tour, where guys have short windows, they need a little burst. They need some reasons for people to tune in.
Yeah, because the personalities aren't there. I mean,
you got John Daly
really,
out there.
Yeah, but
assuming he overcomes his cancer battling.
Are you the kind of person that would sit down with Bernhard Langer and have a beer? I mean, he'd probably drink a lot of beer, but
he's from Germany, so he knowed about it.
He's not the type of personality that's going to attract attention, and Phil definitely is. Ernie's kind of quiet. Jim Furyk's kind of quiet, but the quality of their game and the fact that they are players that a majority of golfers recognize.
Yep.
They recognize their names. They're part of the a little younger generation. So it'll attract viewers. The issue with today's event is that they're going to try and get in as many holes as they can. Yep. So they may be, some of these guys might be playing 36 holes today, in which case they better have the paddles ready because.
No question.
Yeah. These guys haven't played 36 holes in a while.
So the PGA Tour is in Vegas at the very exclusive Shadow Creek Golf Club there. We're going to join. We'll take a break when we come back. Greg Robertson, who's been covering the PGA for a number of years, now working for the Las Vegas Journal Review. We'll get his thoughts on the leaderboard. Xander Schauffele is your leader. He's got a 3-shot lead after 36 holes over Tyrrell Hatton. And Russell Henley there alone in third. We'll get his thoughts on what he's seen so far as well as last week. With the Shriners Hospital for Children open as well. Just getting going. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. 8:17 here this morning. Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein with you as we get going on this new PGA Tour wraparound season. Very pleased to have joining us this morning the former golf editor, the first golf editor at ESPN.com. Currently, he's covering golf for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Go to reviewjournal.com to find all of his work. Greg Robertson, kind enough to hop on the line for us this morning. Good morning, Greg. Thanks so much for taking some time. And how nice has it been to have the PGA Tour in your backyard for the last 2 weeks?
Oh, it's been a real treat because you had the regular tour stop that you get kind of the mid-range players. I had a few big names this year. And then the second stop where you had just about everybody who's anybody. So it's been great.
Well, and the CJ Nines Cup, normally played in Korea, obviously due to COVID, the golf world not excited about traveling to all parts of the globe right now. So Shadow Creek stepping up, and I think before we get into the play, the golf course has a bit of mystique to it as well. You know, technically a public course, but you better have be well-heeled and well-connected in order to play out there. What seeing this for the first time, other than that match that Tiger and Phil played a few years back, what's the course been like? How has it held up for a PGA tournament and people that watch the coverage this weekend? What should they know about it and pay attention to watching the play?
Absolutely. Mystique is a good word. You know, as a Las Vegas resident, even we don't know much about it at all. The course has been fantastic, and the players really like it. One of the benefits of bringing it here this year at this time is they have bent grass greens, which are kind of rare to find, but that's exactly what they're going to play at Augusta in a few weeks. So pre-tournament, everyone from Rory to Brooks to Justin Rose, they're talking about this is their Masters tune-up because they've got the bent grass greens. They're very undulating, so you're working on your imagination of how putts are going to break and how putts are going to roll exactly like you do at Augusta. So that's the benefit for the players. For the fans, they're seeing just a gorgeous course. One of the most interesting things being out there is every hole is isolated. So no matter what hole you're on, you don't see any other holes. You don't see any other players. You don't see any other people. You're on your own little hole because there's something like 22,000 trees on the course. So every hole is tree lined and you don't see anyone else. So it's a nice intimate setting. It's a great course. I believe Golf Digest named it the fifth best public course in the country. The one benefit of the COVID era, I would say, is that this is a really tight course, and if there were actually fans allowed, I don't know where they'd put them, because this is not a course where spectators could get around very easily.
Well, Greg, my co-host could find someone else's fairway. I don't care where you put him. you'd really have to isolate him. So it's a Tom Fazio design, and he moved about 3 million cubic yards of dirt. That's a little less than my wife has me moving in our backyard this weekend. But now you said that it's a tune-up for the Masters with regard to the greens, but not really the rest of the golf course, is it? Isn't it a little easier than Augusta will play?
Well, I don't think you're going to see anyone reel off six straight birdies at Augusta like Sander right. did yesterday. The fairways are pretty wide open, and it's kind of a course that the first time you look at it, you kind of go, oh, my God, you know, what am I supposed to do here? But these guys are so good after they play one or two practice rounds. They know exactly where they need to put it, and it's kind of just been a matter of hitting their approach shots to the right locations on the green, since they are undulating. If you get it on the right level, there's lots of birdies to be made out there. If you get it on the wrong level, you're looking at some tricky two putts, but we're not seeing a lot of bogeys out there, but we're seeing a lot of pars, and then when people hit it in the right spots, a lot of birdies.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Augusta is thinking of, or they already do, limit the green reading books. Now,
right.
Yeah, what, and obviously at Shadow Creek, they're all using them. Is this going to be what's your feeling on it? What's your take on those green reading books and how it makes Augusta so much more difficult than the other tournament venues?
I think the fact they never allow them at Augusta is just the reason why you need to have history there to win. You don't see first-time players or the young guns generally not doing as well at Augusta because they don't know the greens, whereas players who've been there year after year, they know exactly where every putt's going to break and how it's going to – what kind of speed they need to hit. It's more of an experience and a memory thing at Augusta. Whereas somewhere like Shadow Creek, nobody'd ever seen it. So I understand why they're using the books and relying on them so much. It is kind of one of my issues with the tour that there's so much reading of the books and so much preparation that it's just really slowing the greens slowing the rounds down. Sander, in particular, the last 2 days has complained that, you know, this is a limited field event and they should be flying through the course, but it was 5 hours and 45 minutes to play yesterday. And that's just kind of ridiculous considering these are the best players on a rather straightforward course.
Greg Robertson is our guest covering golf on the PGA Tour for the Las Vegas Journal-Review. Joining us now, you mentioned Xander, that run of birdies he had to take the second round lead, 14 under par. He's three shots clear of Tyrrell Hatton, who won in the European Tour last week at Wentworth, making the 20-hour trek to get to Vegas for this one. You've got defending champion Justin Thomas in the mix. Colin Morikawa is there as well. Despite the lengthy rounds, we mentioned the limited field, guys using this to tune up for the Masters. What have you noticed in the first two rounds and what could translate into what we see this weekend?
You got a little bit of everything there. I mean, you've got some good, solid names at the top, and then you've got someone like Taylor Gooch right there in the mix. You've got someone like Russell Henley right in the mix, who's been around a while but hasn't won in quite a few years. So it's kind of a matter of whose game is on and who's hitting it closest to the pin this weekend. I'm sure Shadow Creek will tuck a few pins away this weekend, and it'll come down to the approach shots, my feeling. And then we'll see if someone can make a run today. If someone shoots like Justin or Colin did yesterday, they could vault themselves right up there for Sunday.
Well, we saw Bryson pull away at the U.S. Open in dramatic fashion. We've seen Xander Schauffele. He's been close here in the majors recently. More youngsters like Colin Morikawa, who got his first major. Justin Thomas isn't yet 30. Amongst all these 20-something guys, is there one that maybe you see who could rise above and consistently win four or five times in multiple majors in a burst, maybe the way we saw Jordan Spieth do it a couple of years ago? Or are those days all gone because of how many guys are out there who can win on any given week?
That's a really good question. I think of the young guys, Colin Morikawa is the one who impresses me the most. I would say the first 2 days here, he played better than anybody out at Shadow Creek. He just couldn't make any putts on Thursday. And then yesterday he got him to fall. But I think you saw at the PGA Championship that he, despite his age, he knows how to manage a course, and he knew when to take his chances and when not to. So I think of the young guys, he's someone, when his putting is on, who's as good as anybody out on the tour. On the other hand, you have someone like Bryson who, you know, he can just overpower any course. And depending how it's set up, he will have a huge length advantage over everybody. I think the U.S. Open normally will reward people who can keep it in the fairway, but they had those fairways set up so slick that even the short hitters, balls were rolling into the rough. So when you're rolling into the rough and you're 50, 60 yards behind, Bryson's going to have an advantage, and he's a good putter. So it could go either way. Bryson, mentally, and you're just not sure when he's there and when he's not.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of like me on a daily basis. But I would say the player who's not there, Bryson DeChambeau, is still stirring up a lot of talk about distance and about hitting the ball further. Justin Thomas is talking about it. Rory McIlroy is talking about it. Are we looking at a whole new era in golf, or is this just kind of culminating right now from maybe the time Tiger was out there hitting the ball so far?
I don't know. I think we go through this all the time. And like you said, back in around 2000, they were Tiger-proofing courses because he was longer than anyone. And now they're worried about how long Bryson is. I don't know. It's we go through it and we go through it. And Bryson's the one long now, but you know, on certain weeks, DJ and Brooks and a whole slew of people can be almost as long as him. And if they're straighter than him, then they can beat him. And I'm just not sure. Maybe if Bryson goes out and tears up Augusta this year as well, and then it's back-to-back majors, then we start talking about rolling back the ball or doing something to the courses to try and change things. But I think it just happens every generation.
Well, it's fun to see a course like Shadow Creek on television. We've seen that a few times here in this weird, odd PGA Tour season. Greg Robertson, you can see all of his work at the Las Vegas Journal Review. You can go to their website and find it. That is reviewjournal.com. And go to the sports section. He's been covering the tour. Should be a fun weekend. Greg, we thank you so much for getting up and joining us here this morning, and look forward to your coverage throughout the weekend.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you, Greg Robertson, there with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. It is interesting, though, you look at what distance means and the shot link data. Yesterday, Xander Schauffele, who is 10th in driving distance so far. He's only tied for 60th in fairways hit, but he's tied for first in greens in regulation. So it goes to, if you can get it down there 20, 30 yards further than your competition, whether or not it's necessarily in the fairway, as long as you're not behind a tree or somewhere where it's just simply unplayable, even if it's in the rough, to get a 9-iron or a wedge on something versus playing a 6 or 7-iron from the fairway, being in the fairway doesn't doesn't matter as much.
No, that's exactly right. And Bryson DeChambeau demonstrated that at the U.S. Open. If you're going to, I had a friend, a fellow professional once tell me, Harold, if you're going to screw up off the tee, get it closer to the hole, regardless of whether you're sideways. I always thought that it was a huge advantage to hit the fairway. I've made a lot of bogeys from fairways. I've made birdies from the rough. I can tell you it just comes down to the fact that it's easier to hit a wedge than an 8-iron, and it's easier to get it closer to the hole. Can you control the spin out of the rough? No, but if you're accustomed to it, then you you know, you just hit the ball a little shorter. It's more difficult to spin it, but that doesn't mean you're still only hitting a wedge.
Exactly.
The 8-iron could fly on you and go sideways. So distance has always been an issue in golf. For as long as golf has been around, it will always be an issue. Are we at a point where we're going to see the USGA and the RNA make some changes? I think, as Greg said, if they tear Augusta up, particularly if DeChambeau tears Augusta up, you're going to see changes at Augusta for sure, but you will see something coming from the top down.
Interesting to keep track of that as we move forward. Thanks again to Greg Robertson for joining us. Steve Turcotte going to join us at 8:45 in the Business of Golf. We'll come back in the tip segment. We'll learn a little bit maybe more about Broadmoor as Harold played it for one final time yesterday, as well as we transition into the colder weather, wetter weather. You're not getting out to the course as much. Some things you can do at your home, maybe in the garage or whatever, to try and keep your swing intact and your body intact as well. We're making the turn here. It's Golf of the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:36 here this morning. Center and Saint following us. Then it's Oregon Ducks Classic from the 2019 season at 11. 4:30 this afternoon on The Fan. Best college football matchup so far this season. Alabama and Georgia will go at it. Over on 910 ESPN Portland, you'll get both playoff games from Major League Baseball today. Dodgers and Braves game 6 up first at 1:30. And as soon as that's over, then we'll go to game 7 between the Astros and the Rays. So that's how the day lines up for you.
So no cornhole championships on radio?
No.
Rock skipping on Lake Erie?
No. We got football.
Only the best stuff.
We got baseball.
Okay.
All the best stuff for you. And then NFL football all day on Sunday.
Yeah. Who are they playing?
Who's who playing?
The Seahawks.
Oh, they have a bye this week.
Oh. You know, it used to be when the Bills had a bye, we could be assured they'd win.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah. We were always assured.
Oh, tell us how it used to be.
Well, hey.
Well, they used to be the biggest tease in sports, getting all the way to the Super Bowl and then flaming out four times in a row.
But I'll tell you what, it has made us a very different kind of fan. We don't expect a whole lot. We've taken the bar and we've lowered it.
There you go.
And we can all jump over it and crawl under it. And so we are good fans.
Well, as we've been trying to raise the bar for a lot of our individual golf games around here at The Fan this summer with a lot more free time to get out there on the courses, for those of us that have made some improvement or are in the midst of trying to reshape our swings and our games to get more out of it, we're getting to the point in the season now, not as much daylight, not as much warmth, not as much arid. There's a little bit more wet. It's harder to get out there. But what can we do to try and keep things from regressing or having to reinvent or reestablish the progress that we've made playing so much this summer?
Well, I think you can keep it going. It's not the amount of time and the amount of practice. It's the quality of both. And I like to assess my performance after I play or after I practice. So you're asking me, okay, what can you do? Since you're busy here at the station, well,
busy,
you got
it's about to be, we are going to have college basketball season, right. So I'm going to be on the road and doing games and that yeah. sort of thing again. So is there stuff that I can do? I don't know.
Exercises,
yeah. Drills that you can do in the house or in the garage to keep things from, you know, regressing.
Well, the issue you're going to have first is that the less you do, the stiffer you're going to be. So your body's going to stiffen up. For you in particular, you're probably going to put on another 10 pounds that you lost. You lost 40?
No, we're not doing that. I'm still working out. Okay. We're still running. We're still doing planks and dumbbells and all that sort of stuff.
And that's excellent. And that's what the average player can do. There's plenty of information online about stretching and things like that. So I would recommend that you get into a physical fitness program that will keep you limber, flexible, and work with your balance. Practice time. So after I've been off for a while, I have a tendency, and it's not necessarily a good one, I have a tendency to come back and say, okay, what was I working on? Oh, all right, let me do that. And then it just never works. So you're out there beating balls one after another, and you're not getting anywhere. So after I discover that kind of mindset that is habitual, and I break it, I'll step back for a moment, get off the mat or away from the golf balls, the range balls, and I'll say to myself, I'm going to allow my body to talk to me. So I'm going to move in, hit balls, and try to clear my mind and notice what is my body doing that may produce good or poor shots. And oftentimes I can feel it in my feet. And it's one place you can feel a lot of crazy things going on, your feet and your hands. I usually feel it in my feet and in my hips. So I have a tendency sometimes to slide into the backswing. So I work on, I will step back. I will do some exercises where I will rotate my upper body, trying to keep my hips pretty quiet and not moving at all, just to kind of loosen up that area. But the issue is I'm listening to my body, and it's unusual. I can, about a week and a half ago, I felt my hands flipping through impact. And one of the things that always produces a hook or a pull for me. Too much side spin left. So what I'll try to do is I'll step back, think for a moment, okay, I'm going to hit fades. Just going to step up and hit a fade. What that does is psychologically it relaxes my hand, not necessarily relaxes in the sense that my muscles aren't working. It's just that I'm not overusing my hands. And now I'm hitting the ball straight, maybe with a slight fade or draw. But again, it comes down to the fact that I'm allowing my body to talk to me instead of imposing some sort of method or idea on it. And I know that's a very difficult place to be, and it takes a lot of patience.
Well, definitely things to work on there and keep in mind, and fitness will be a huge part of it. So your body resembles as closely what it was when you quit playing regularly, when you start playing regularly again.
You might even step up.
Yeah.
If you approach it in that way.
So, and as Harold mentioned, tons of websites out there, just Google golf fitness. And there's a plethora of, websites you can go to and tips and drills and exercises you can get into. Also though, still a chance to get out, you know, when there is a nice fall weekend, you want to get out and play fall golf, some of the best golf in the Pacific Northwest. And Steve Turcotte, who is the editor for Inside Golf Newspaper, going to join us next in the business of golf, find out where maybe to take advantage of some deals or some opportunities as we wrap things up here. Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:47 here this morning. Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein are wrapping things up. Daylight starting to take effect. supposed to be pretty nice today. Good day to get out and get around in. Little drizzlier. Drizzlier?
Yeah, go ahead.
I need more
broadcasters
coffee.
Always make up words. So you may
might be a little wetter tomorrow. So today's your day
wettier.
To get out. Yeah, wettier.
Yeah.
But where to go, where to play? There are a lot of great courses for fall golf here in the Pacific Northwest. Joining us now is Steve Turcotte, who's the editor for Inside Golf Newspaper, source for Northwest golf news and information. They have been around since 1988, but I think for a lot of golfers, maybe not as familiar with the publication, actually a physical newspaper. Those things are becoming dinosaurs. So Steve Turcotte joining us here. Good morning, Steve. For people that aren't familiar with it, where can they find Inside Golf Newspaper?
Hey, morning, guys. How's it going today?
Oh, it's going fantastic.
Excellent. Well, you can basically pick us up for the last 30 years at golf courses and driving ranges around Oregon and Washington. Like I said, been around for like 30 years and publication once a month, even over the winter when it slows down a little bit. So we keep, like you said, the newspapers are getting tough, but we keep grinding it out every month.
Well, Steve, I've been connected with the newspaper for quite some time, being the hilarious cartoonist in it, and I never pat myself on the back very often, but I will now.
We'll pat you on the back here.
I'm kidding. You did some really good stuff in this this month's issue on fall golf, and I was just looking through it the other day, and I'm thinking, there's a lot of golf courses here, and there's a lot of golf in the Northwest can be fantastic in the fall. Where do I start?
Well, the cool thing about fall golf is that, you know, all of a sudden you might think of like Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington about, oh, it's getting too cold and too chilly. But, you know, you check the weather and you check the forecast, and, you know, golf, even on the other side of the mountains in both states, it's always great. I mean, I at least once a year, I'll get over to, you know, Spokane, Tri-Cities, you know, in Washington kind of stuff. And, you know, it's better. The weather's good. The prices are better. And the tee sheets are a little more open too. So, I mean, fall golf pretty much everywhere in the Northwest is really a good idea.
So you've got, in your articles, you've got Central Oregon, you've got Eastern Washington, Eastern Oregon. You've got, let's say you've got a week. Where are you going?
I would probably start up this way and just, you know, kind of head over the mountains and, you know, head, you know, Tri-Cities, Yakima, even Walla Walla. If you ever played a place called Wine Valley, it's fantastic. Yeah. And it's great. You kind of head down, you know, into Pendleton, into Wild Horse. And then the one I haven't played, I don't know about you guys. Have you guys played Sylvie's Ranch?
No, I haven't.
No, that looks unbelievable, just the picture there. And that's another, you know, to appear to be another real nice fall. You know, it's doing the kind of cut down to Central Oregon, you know, the Black Buttes and the Sun Rivers and that kind of stuff, and kind of make your way home. But, can't go wrong with fall golf in the Northwest for sure.
Steve Turcotte, our guest editor of Inside Golf Newspaper. I think a lot of people know about Central Oregon, kind of Central Washington, some areas there. Is there a hidden area in the Pacific Northwest really that's kind of untapped but has maybe more than one? We know about some individual resorts, but is there an area where maybe you can go that you wouldn't think of, where there's maybe 3, 4, 5 courses that you could all hit in a week or a long weekend?
Well, the Bellingham area up north of Seattle is got quite a collection of courses, some resort courses, some really good public courses, and they're within, you know, 20-30 minutes of each other. And I mean, like, we have a story next month going, and I feel bad for those guys because the border's been closed basically since April, and those guys get a lot of business from Canada, and they've just, you know, the Canadians have been shut out about coming down here and vice versa. So they've been real dependent on them, you know, the American golfers and the American dollars this year. But the Bellingham, great collection of courses. You know, you can go up there, stay a couple nights, and, you know, play all kinds of golf up there. That's kind of place like that.
Well, Steve, you mentioned the pandemic has closed down and made it difficult for those up near Bellingham, and then we've had fires in the in Central Oregon. Is this about the craziest year in 30 years that you've been covering golf?
No, but by far, you know, so all the golf courses get closed, you know, March, April, May. But the funny thing is, you guys, is when they rallied back, the rounds of golf, these places have gotten in the last 2 or 3 months, it's off the charts. I mean, there's a golf course up here called Foster Golf Course over by SeaTac Airport. It's, you know, not lengthy, you know, 5,000-6,000-yard golf course, but I'm over dropping the papers off at the end of July, and, you know, the general manager looks at me, he goes, you're not going to believe this one. He goes, we just got our 10,000th round in July when I was there the last day of July. And then only that, then they got another 10,000 rounds in August. I mean, if you try to get a tee time, it's been hard to get a tee time. And so, I mean, more power to the golf course to really rally back after being closed down for so long because of the pandemic, though. It was pretty impressive, the numbers that I saw.
So those are locals playing local golf courses. How are the resorts doing where people are traveling to them?
It took a while. They've rallied back too a little bit, but it took a while because people didn't, you know, they want to stay home. They don't want to travel. But, you know, some of the resorts, you know, Suncadia up here, just outside of Seattle, a couple in the Central Oregon I've checked with, and then, you know, up north in Bellingham area, their reservations at their place gone up in the last couple of months. But, you know, like I said, it was definitely slow there for a while.
Steve Turcotte is our guest editor of Inside Golf Newspaper, and the website is insidegolfnewspaper.com. And in amongst the courses, there's also a part that is RV-friendly, and I think that's the one thing we've seen with COVID. People that do want to travel but are a little hesitant maybe with hotels and being that close, there's a lot of areas in the Pacific Northwest that are near RV facilities, and that's a great way to get out. What are some of the areas where you can, you know, just pick up, put your clubs in, and be right there?
Well, that's a great point. It's funny when you read in the paper that trailer and RV sales in the last 4 or 5 months have just really skyrocketed. And there's a lot of courses, like especially some of the resorts even have RV parking lots that, you know, a couple of the nice Indian tribal-owned casinos up here have some really nice lots, and you know, they're right there. They give you deals on golf, they give you a deal on stay, and you know, place to stay. But yeah, it's amazing when you kind of poke around and see how many places actually have RVs and are real friendly to golfers traveling, and they've been real full the last couple 3 months as well.
Steve, you wrote an article, I think it was last month or maybe month before, where you were looking into the tribal connections with golf courses. What's the appeal to? Are they just looking at it as a tax write off? They're not taxed. Well, what's the appeal for the tribes to get involved with golf?
Well, I think the bottom line, and I love to see the tribes getting involved, is that I think they just, you know, I think they're always looking for amenities to add to their to what they have. You know, like up north, the tribe up there bought the Loomis Trail Golf Course, mm-hmm. the Lummi Nation. And, you know, that really, and then, you know, then there's other places that started their own golf courses, like the, you know, Salish Cliffs up here, the tribe there started their own, the Wild Horse folks down in Pendleton. And in fact, you saw that they actually bought Pendleton Country Club too. So it's kind of interesting to see that the tribes either start their own or kind of buy to add, you know, add amenities for their guests. So when they come play golf, they have their own course right there to play.
Steve Turcotte, editor, Inside Golf Newspaper, insidegolfnewspaper.com. For people that want to get in touch, and you can subscribe as well. What's the best way to do that?
Just kind of go online and look for the subscription link and hit the button, and they'll show up in your mailbox every month.
There you go. We thank you for your time this morning, and hopefully we'll get some more people out to enjoy the great fall golf here in the Pacific Northwest.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Thank you, Steve Turcotte there, editor of Inside Golf Newspaper. Harold, as you mentioned, you've been contributing your editorial or cartoons.
Yeah, 20 years.
20 years that you've been doing that in the print
and
edition.
And I've only been funny for about two of those.
Yeah, well, I've given you material finally, so.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that.
It's
you
the least
and
I
Will.
Can do.
Will's a laugh a second.
Thanks to Steve. Thanks to Greg Robertson as well from the Las Vegas Journal Review. The CJ Nines Cup, 2 p.m. today on Golf Channel. And Xander Schauffele looking for his fifth win on tour already. Watch out for Colin Morikawa and Justin Turner. They're six shots back, but they're in the top 10. Both of those guys can get hot and make big runs. Today's going to be moving day.
Yeah, I'd love to see Xander Schauffele walk away with this win. I'd also like to see him win a major. This kid can really play.
We'll see if he can get it dialed up and go on those putting runs. As they mentioned, as Greg mentioned, the greens resembling a lot of what they will see at Augusta Center. And Sane is up next. Thanks to Will, as always, for producing for Harold. I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
Now, how would I adjust? Well, I've got to choke down on my club a little bit.
Hold up the sack out on the sidewalk at the street and right. Just see if you can aim it in there from the porch.
Yeah, you're more suck your finger and stick it in the wind and see what's going.
Yeah, exactly. Smoking at 3, coffee at 5. The ladies are getting creamed. Ha ha, you know how easy I am.
Yeah, I know.
PJ's in Europe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.